Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 96-year-old Phil Wright of Madera Ranchos, California. Originally from Elkton, Virginia, during World War II, he served with the 567th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion, Battery C, in case you're wondering. His birthday is New Year's Day, January 1st, so all those years ago, he spent both Christmas and his 20th birthday in frozen foxholes during the Battle of the Bulge. For the months that followed, he would help pass ammunition for anti-aircraft guns in Belgium, France, and Germany, often engaging in small arms fire against the enemy as well. And by May 8, 1945, word came that Nazi Germany had surrendered. You remember where you were on VE Day, Phil?
I was in Germany at that time.
Was that significant?
At that time, it was to us. In reality, we didn't really know everything that was going on. We just knew our little bit of the war.
And when you say you didn't know everything that was going on, at what point did you become aware of what was happening in all those concentration camps that the Nazis had?
I did not know what was going on. I did not know. Those guys had a pretty terrible life.
What would you say was the hardest thing you had to deal with in those years?
I guess being away from home.
Did you ever have days you weren't sure if you were going to ever make it home?
Oh, yeah. Oh, every day. We were shot at every day, either by rifle fire or anti-aircraft.
So when you heard that news that Germany had surrendered and the war in Europe is over, was there some celebration that took place there, or what was that like?
Oh, yeah. That night, well, you know, everybody was firing their guns and doing different things. But the majority of the soldiers were pretty calm at that time.
You know, and when we talked about the Battle of the Bulge, there's a couple things that usually come up. The cold is oftentimes the first.
Oh, it was cold. It was so cold. We wrapped our feet and our legs with anything that we could wrap them in and still get our shoes on. But it was cold, very cold that winter.
A lot of shivering?
A lot of it, a lot of shivering.
And the other thing that usually comes up is the casualties, the number of Americans killed and wounded.
Oh, yeah. I knew a lot of the guys that was killed that day or killed then.
How hard was that to face that reality every day?
At that time, it was just another day of the war. Either you got shot or somebody else on the other side got shot. I don't know how many people I shot. I shot at a lot of people. Maybe I missed them. I don't know. Hope so.
And when the war in Europe ended, was there any thought in your mind that you might be getting sent to the Pacific?
No. I didn't know where I was going to go. They sent me to New York. Came right by the Statue of Liberty.
Did that mean something to you?
At that time it did, yeah. You were home.
And if we look at it from the big picture, right, you're one of 16 million Americans who's serving in this war. And if you hadn't done what you did and Germany had won, our world would be a lot different today. Do you take some pride in that, in being a part of that effort?
Well, yeah, every day. You think about it every day.
And I know it's been a long time, but if you can go back to when you came home from the war. So now the war's over. You're back home. You've got a lot of life in front of you. What do you think your mindset or your outlook was at that point?
Oh, I wanted to meet a girl and get married. I think that was the main thing that was on my mind.
And I guess you did.
Yeah, I met my wife through a friend of mine. I worked at Glen L. Martin from the time I was in high school and until I was drafted. I met this man from Pennsylvania, and he gave me the name of my wife, Hazel. And he told me I should write to her. She was a real nice girl that he had known when he was a kid. When we were kids, all kids growing up, you know, 17 or 18. So I corresponded with my wife. I don't know how long, maybe she would know.
She says 3 years.
Yeah, about that.
I'll tell you what, I'm just thinking here. What if I give you a break for a few minutes and let me get her side of the story of how you met? Is that all right? And then we'll come back and talk about the Air Force?
Yeah.
That all right? Okay.
So, Hazel, how did this lifelong romance begin? Can you give it to us from your perspective?
My friend was going to go down to Baltimore to Glen L. Martin to work, and Phil was there already. In the meantime, after he'd been down there for a while, he was drafted. And so Frank said, here's an address of a young lady that you might write to while you're in the service. So we wrote back and forth for 3 years.
And you hadn't even met him in person yet?
No, I had not met him in person. He came home and found out the girl he was engaged to married his cousin. That was a sad thing for him to find out. But one thing and another, after so long a time that he saw all of his girlfriends back there, he decided to give me a call, and I wanted to know if he could come up to see me. I was in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, a long ways off.
And when you two were writing letters to each other during the war, what kinds of things would you write about?
Well, it's kind of a little personal.
All right.
You know, you write and tell them all the things that's happening around the place and what's going on. That's about it.
Were you ever, that's 3 years is a long time.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame for him to be too far away from home and not have anybody there.
Did you at least know what each other looked like? Did you send each other pictures or anything?
I don't recall ever getting any pictures from him.
He gets home from the war. You've never met him before, and he comes up to see you. What were you expecting?
Well, I was only 17, and of course I didn't drive yet. And so I asked my dad if he would take me to the bus station, and of course we did. Everybody laughs about having my father pick him up from the bus station, and one thing led to another. Maybe months after he had been there or a year, my sister got married. He said to me, I wished it were us. So that was our proposal.
How romantic.
Very.
I've got to ask you, too, what was your first impression of him? Because you've been writing him letters, but you've never met him. So he shows up in your hometown, your dad goes with you to pick him up. What'd you think of him when you met this guy?
I thought it was pretty nice. Yeah. We hit it off right away because we seemed to know each other after writing. You know, I thought I knew him.
So how much longer was it till you guys got married?
I honestly don't know how much longer, but we were married in 46, and I think my sister was married in 45.
Just a year after the war ends, you guys are married, and how old were you?
I was 17, but that was in July, and in October I was 18. He was 21. In January he was 22.
So that was 75 years ago. What's the secret to staying married for 75 years?
What is the secret, Phil?
It's just love. I love you.
Yeah, give him a good night's kiss and see him in the morning.
And whose idea was it for Phil to go into the Air Force?
Oh, his idea. But he asked me if he could. And I said, yes, it would be a good idea. And it was the best idea that we ever had, because a lot of our friends weren't eating regularly or doing but we were sure to have regular food, regular pay, and it was good.
And how did you like being an Air Force wife?
I liked it. He would go TDY, and we'd have to wait for him to come back, and we moved every 3 years. So it's readjustment, but we saw a lot of the country, but it was in Europe. We never went to the Southeast Asia or any place like that.
I would imagine that after 75 years of marriage, you know him better than anybody else does, right?
I believe so. I know him very, very well. He's always there for me. If I need something, he will do it.
So some people would say it's awfully foolish to get married when you're 17 years old and it's not going to last.
Well, yes, they say that, and they also say, you had to get married, didn't you? No, we did not. 3 years later, we had our first child. Yeah, yep.
So it has lasted 75 years and counting. So what advice would you have for the rest of us who would like our marriages to last that long?
Just give and take. And it has to be both of you, right?
And as Phil's head is nodding in agreement, I'm going to slide back over to him, because after hearing that story from Hazel, I've got a few more questions for you. I'm curious, when you're that teenager in a frozen foxhole in the Battle of the Bulge and beyond, what did it mean to you when mail call arrived and you got a letter from Hazel?
Well, it made you feel pretty good. You knew that she was waiting for you to get home. Well, you were looking for the mail every day, looking for a letter every day. Didn't get one every day, but you wanted one. So that it was just a matter of waiting.
Am I inferring correctly that getting a letter from Hazel would maybe help you take your mind off other things?
Well, naturally, it took your mind off of the war. That was a tough war. World War II was a pretty tough war in Europe.
And I asked her, now let's get your side of the story. So you come to the bus station, and here's this 17-year-old girl with her father. What was your first impression?
Well, I thought she was a pretty nice girl, good-looking girl. I think she wanted to get married right away.
Did anybody tell you it was a bad idea?
No. It was a mutual understanding that we were in love, and we were going to get married. One day we would get married.
So that day was July 10th, 1946, and now we're in 2021, 75 years later. So how do you account for that?
Well, just we got along mutually. We got along real well together before we got married and after we got married.
And even still, after 75 years of marriage, it is time for our final break, but there's still plenty of ground to cover with 96-year-old Phil Wright, including how he got to know a guy who had become an ace in the skies above where Phil and his 567th Anti-Aircraft Battalion buddies were shooting down enemy aircraft, too. We're talking about the one and only Chuck Yeager. Don't forget to check out hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page for photos and a short video with Phil, and we'll be right back after this. If you spent much time listening to Hometown Heroes, you've probably heard veterans from all over America talking about the mission of the Honor Flight Network, taking World War II veterans free of charge to see their memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it since they built it. And to see all those guys there that did survive, and then they get emotional. Pretty soon you get emotional, too.
I tell you, that Honor Flight, I just can't believe what a wonderful deal it is.
Everywhere people came up to us, military guys and civilians, and wanted to shake our hands and thank us for all we did. I kept saying there were 16 million of us, you know, and I only did a little piece. But it was just an emotional high.
When it comes to our men and women in uniform, all gave some, and some gave all. A reality underscored as veterans visit the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam memorials and Arlington National Cemetery.
All those white crosses go into your heart. You just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
And while they are still living, Honor Flight gives the rest of us a chance to express our gratitude. Won't you encourage the World War II veterans in your life to put in applications for this all-expenses-paid journey to their memorial?
It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. Gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think.
If you live near me in Central California, find Central Valley Honor Flight at cvhonorflight.org. Wherever you're listening, there's a hub in your area, and you can find it on the national website, honorflight.org. Sign up a veteran, volunteer to help, or donate to this important and time-sensitive mission. It's amazing what it means to these members of our greatest generation.
I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening?
The manner in which we were treated and greeted and acted toward was just awesome. It made me believe that the people of the United States are just wonderful.
Time is of the essence. Team up with Honor Flight today and help give our veterans one more tour with honor.